In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God created man in his own image. But man utterly rejected God's authority and plunged the entire human race into the prison of sin and death. And death reigned upon the face of the earth. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Send us a Savior. Send us Emmanuel. In the beginning, God created me and utterly breathed into my nostrils the breath of life, and I became a living soul. But I utterly rejected God's authority and plunged myself into the prison of sin and death to dwell in darkness forever.
You are my.
Winters in the small town of Forest Grove were bitterly cold, and so were the townspeople. Mountains of powdery snow piled up everywhere, and the cutting, icy wind drove everyone into a kind of frustrated hibernation around their old potbelly stoves. Except for an occasional trip to Grandpa Billy's general store, most folks stayed inside and commuted by telephone. Temperatures often plunged below zero. But inside the one lone church in Forest Grove, it was below zero all year long. Pastor Jeff Thompson had just arrived in town with his wife, Ellen, and their six-year-old son, Timmy. Pastor Thompson was earnestly seeking God's blessing on his first pastorate and was eager to get started on that first Sunday morning.
I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be your new pastor. I've looked forward to this day for a long, long time. I just can't believe that it's finally here. You have my word that I'll try my best to be a blessing and a help to you as we work together to bring more folks into the kingdom of God. And I have a special announcement for all you kids. Most of you know that my wife, Ellen, plays the piano, and we'd like to start a children's choir next Sunday evening, right?
George?
Yes, Grandpa Billy, and the name is Jeff. That's all right, sir. Did you want to say something?
I was just thinking, we ain't never had a children's choir before. I don't know, we better be starting one right soon. Sounds like a pretty big undertaking to me.
Don't worry, Grandpa Billy. You won't have to do anything. My wife and I will do all the work. She plays the piano, and I'll teach the children the songs. It'll be a wonderful for the kids, and they'll get to do a special Christmas program and sing in the...
Yeah, you just better hold your horses, Sonny Boy, and remember your place. I learned a long time ago these things have a way of growing way out of hand in no time. Just give me some time. I'll get the deacons together, and we'll talk it through.
Now, Grandpa Billy, what could possibly be wrong with teaching the children a few Christmas carols?
Well, I ain't saying it's necessarily wrong. It's just...
All the children were disappointed that they couldn't begin the children's choir right away, and so were most of their parents. But no one had the courage to oppose Grandpa Billy. Besides, everyone was certain that the idea would be approved by the deacon board eventually. After all, what reasonable deacon would actually vote against having a children's choir? Well, Pastor Thompson's troubles were just beginning. He tried to start a Wednesday night prayer meeting, but the deacons voted it down too. Mainly because Wednesday night was the same night Grandpa Billy and his cronies had played dominoes for 20 years. And as Grandpa Billy put it, playing dominoes is religion in action. Then Pastor Thompson asked if he could install lights in the church basement to provide much needed Sunday school space, but Grandpa Billy opposed him again. Grandpa always said, "Can't be too careful with the Lord's money." Then everyone began to notice a strange phenomenon. Every Sunday, Grandpa Billy was beginning to stay awake for a little more of the church service. And it wasn't because he was enjoying what he heard.
In closing, we see that Nicodemus seemed to have everything going in his favor. He was both a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. I guess you could say the Sanhedrin was something like our deacon board. Nicodemus was recognized as one of the outstanding spiritual leaders of his day. And yet Jesus told him that being a leader in the church wasn't enough. Nicodemus needed to be born again, born completely over by the Spirit of God.
As the service came to a close, even the children were whispering about it. Grandpa Billy had actually stayed awake through the entire service. He hadn't dozed off one time. As soon as the final amen was pronounced, Grandpa Billy made a beeline for Pastor Jeff.
Good to see you, Grandpa Billy.
Same to you, I'm sure. George, let me give you a little advice.
I can always use some good advice.
Now, don't go try and sweet talk me, Sonny. You need to sleep out there in the pews, you know.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to.
You just keep this evangelism stuff out of the morning service. You're even trying to sneak it into Christmas. Now, it might be all right to use it on the children in Sunday school, but I don't want any of it in the pulpit. Your sermons are getting way preachy.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, it's like this, honey boy. I'm going to level with you. Me and just about everybody else here in this church was baptized before you was even knee-high to a June bug.
I realize that, sir, and I certainly respect.
Well, then, why do you keep on ranting and raving about sin and salvation like we was a bunch of heathen or something? Now, you need to quit it before you confuse some of these old-timers with all this born-again stuff.
But Grandpa Billy, all I did was explain the story of Nicodemus from the Gospel of John.
You've been listening to me, boy. That's exactly what I've been talking about. You best stay away from that Gospel of Nicodemus and all them other wildfire books you've been getting your harebrained ideas from. We don't allow nothing in this church house but the Bible. The Bible, I say. It was good enough for my grandfather, and it's good enough for you. Understand?
I think so.
I hope so, for your sake.
Amen.
Lord, I confess that sometimes I wonder why you brought me and my family to Forest Grove. Everything I do is wrong. Everybody's against us. And yet you said in your word, ask and it shall be given unto you. Lord, I'm going to fast and pray for the next 3 days and plead with you to give me one man, just one man, who will love you with all his heart. Lord, please.
Oh.
3 days later, Pastor Thompson was on his knees praying when he heard a muffled knock on the front door. "This is my answer," the young pastor thought as he literally jumped to his feet and ran to the door. Only one obstacle stood between the racing reverend and the answer to his prayers. That obstacle was one of his son's stray roller skates, which was carelessly parked right in the middle of the hallway. As the pastor rounded the corner from his study to the hallway, without warning, his left foot flew east, his right foot flew west, and for one frantic moment, Pastor Thompson was completely airborne in angelic flight. However, it wasn't long before the laws of gravity regained control of the situation, and the pastor came in for a crash landing on the coffee table and the hardwood floor. Moments later, and only half conscious, Pastor Thompson dizzily surveyed what was left of his makeshift landing strip. The coffee table was broken in 4 pieces. There was a sharp, stabbing pain in his left shoulder, and his throbbing right leg was curled up under his body where he knew it shouldn't be. His wife was at the grocery, and Timmy was at school. There was no use calling for help unless his answer to prayer was still waiting at the door. Pastor Thompson painfully tried to pull himself up on a nearby chair.
"Come on in. Is anyone out there? Come on in. Door's open."
"Hey, please."
"Oh, it's you. It's not that I'm not glad to see you, Bobby. It's just expecting someone else."
"What's that on your face? I bet you've been fighting, haven't you? Wow. Wait until I tell kids about this. They'll never believe it."
"Oh, Bobby, I haven't been in a fight. I stepped on one of Timmy's roller skates and I was running to answer the door. Do you think you could call Doc Forsythe for me? I think my leg is broken."
Bobby stood in a state of shock, jaw dropped, eyes bugged, and brain in neutral. Racing through her 12-year-old mind were the possible headlines of the next day's newspaper. "Bobby Simpson, modern-day superhero, saves pastor's life." Suddenly, something snapped in Bobby's brain. She bolted from her stance and raced for the phone as though mere seconds separated the pastor from eternity. Unfortunately, Bobby never saw the broken coffee table. After clumsily tripping and flying through the air, the full weight of Bobby's 72 pounds came crashing down on the suffering pastor's poor, broken leg.
"Oh, Bobby!"
"I'm sorry, teacher. I'm sorry. I didn't think something was happening. Where is that phone? Operator, this is an emergency. Tell Dr. Forsythe to be over here to pass the test in a hurry." "What? He's blowing his thornmail, baby? Well, the preacher's bathroom. He can't wait. Tell that baby to get a move on. And hurry. My grandpa Bill is going to come by."
"Guess we're going to have to wait for a while. Care to sit down, Bobby?" "What brought you over here this afternoon?"
"Nothing."
"Come on, you can tell me."
"Just want to talk."
"Well, let's talk. I'm not going anywhere."
"You don't feel like talking now."
"It'll be all right, Bobby. Now, what's bothering you?"
"It's just that. Remember last Sunday when you were talking about Nick?
Nicodemus?"
"Yeah, after that. When you told him
Yes.
"And he said that she was told to be born over."
"Yes, Bobby, I remember. Go on."
"Well, you said that being born over was asking Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive your sins and everything."
"That's right."
"And then he said that he just wants to make us brand new people and live right inside of us. Isn't that what he said?"
"Yes, Bobby, that's what I said. Have you ever done that?" "That wasn't very kind, was it, Bobby?" "Bobby!" "So you're the one that..." "Bobby, those are the most beautiful words I've heard since I came to Forest Grove. Why don't you ask Jesus to come into your heart right now?" "I'm sure he would, Bobby."
"Lord, you and me are the only ones who know all the terrible things I've done. I'm awful sorry, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place. Now, please let me get born over and live for you from now on."
Dear God, thank you. You always, your ways are so much higher than ours.
Right. Grandpa Billy isn't going to sit idly by while some renegade preacher tears his town apart. He's got plans.
Have you been working the switchboard again, Lizzie?
Yep. And yesterday afternoon, I overheard Grandpa Billy telling his domino partner that if this heretic preacher didn't settle down, he was going to boot him plumb out of the state.
Is that so?
Yep. And some of Grandpa Billy's words weren't all that religious, neither.
Really? What were some of them?
Well, of course, I wouldn't normally repeat such language.
Oh, don't worry, Lizzie. I won't tell a soul. I ain't never been one to gossip, no how.
Well, all right. You won't believe what he said. I even wrote it down so I wouldn't forget nary a word.
As Christmas approached, there was a strange sense of division taking place at the Forest Grove Church. Bobby had led several of her friends to Christ, and many of the other school kids were coming home asking their parents what it meant to be born over, as Bobby called it. Also, rumor had it that old Doc Forsythe had gotten away at Pastor Thompson's house after church one Sunday night. Some of his patients said that Doc claimed to be working for a new boss, someone Doc called the Great Physician. The result was a new boldness in Pastor Thompson's preaching.
The Bible says that our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in God's sight. And because of our sin, we are not worthy to enter God's presence. But there is one who is worthy. And this is the heart of the Christmas story. God sent his little lamb to that manger in Bethlehem to shed his blood for all mankind. No, we're not worthy. But we can place our trust in the Lamb of God because worthy is the Lamb.
Jesus.
get in touch with Grandpa Billy, but Grandpa refused to talk with him. In fact, Grandpa Billy had not shown his face in church since his granddaughter had met the Lord.
Lord, it looks like it's about over for me here in Forest Grove. Work in Grandpa Billy's heart. I love these folks here. I guess maybe I'm just not cut out to be a pastor after all. But Lord, you're still in control. If I can please you, work a miracle in our little church. I need you, O Lord. I need you.
I think you know why I called this meeting. These past few weeks, people have been making religion their whole life, claiming to have been born over, as my granddaughter calls it, claiming they weren't Christians, even though they've been baptized right here in this very church. And this preacher here is the man responsible. In my hand here, I have a letter of resignation for one Jeffrey E. Thompson, stating that effective tonight, December 25th, he hereby resigns as pastor of Forest Grove Church. It only lacks his signature, and I brought this paper for him to sign in our presence so we could all be witnesses. But I have a better idea. Bobby, you come up here and tell these folks my new plan.
Since me and Pastor Thompson are such good friends, Grandpa asked me to take this to a letter of recognition and hold it up to see. Then, Grandpa told me to take it and print it in 50-50 pieces to stack it. Because Merry Christmas, everybody! Merry Christmas, Pastor Thompson! Grandpa Billy got born over, just like me, born over on Christmas Day.
Grandpa Billy, did you really get saved?
Well, Pastor, it's like this. Last night, I just couldn't sleep. I kept wondering, what if what's happened to my granddaughter is real? So I found my father's old Bible, and I began to read. I came across that story about Nicodemus. I didn't even know it was in the Bible. I read it over and over again. I read some other parts, too. And pretty soon, I saw how wrong I'd been. Then about 5 this morning, the doorbell rang, and it was Bobby. She walked all the way over to my place through the snow just to tell me that she loved me and that she wanted me to get born over too. So we got down on our knees, and she showed me how to ask Jesus into my heart. I've been carrying a load of sin on these old shoulders for the past 75 years. Then Jesus came and took my load of sin away. Pastor Thompson, I have been a cantankerous old fool. Can you find it in your heart to forgive me?
Of course I forgive you, Grandpa Billy. You're so thankful you're saved. You've made this the happiest Christmas of my life.
You listen to the message that was given out in that program, because the gospel message is, the Christmas message is part of the gospel message, And we don't just celebrate a manger or celebrate some folks showing up at Jesus' birth. We celebrate the fact that Jesus came and died for us and died on the cross. And we're thankful for that. That's a great program. I appreciate all the work that went into it, all the singing. You'd think that might have just been once or twice, but they've been practicing for many months. A lot of hours went into it. Brother Maley put a lot of work preparation into it. All the readers preparing. This is Erica's first time and Bobby/Natalie's first time. And they did a good job. Appreciate all the work. The guys back working the sound and the lights. And, of course, Brother Chilman narrating. And appreciate all the work that went into it. Now, here's what we're going to do. Other thing I notice is when we're all here together, this